Hey, this week we had a really cool in-studio guest, Rita Wilson. Yeah, you might know her as Tom Hanks's wife or the lady behind Mamma Mia and My Big Fat Greek Wedding and all that kind of stuff. She hung out with us because she has a brand new country album. We are going to include that interview at the end of the podcast this week, so stick around for that. Again, Rita Wilson at the end of the podcast.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind,
so they have an extra one,
and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast, Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
It's really strange not having Patrick in while the jingle's playing. There he is, coming now. But it's really weird not having you sing harmony with yourself like you do every week.
I don't do it every week.
You do it most weeks.
I do it less than half the time.
The podcast.
Usually I'm still sitting in there when you start the podcast.
The podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. And what we want you to do is think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. We have a whole new script. Did you know that?
Yeah, for the podcast, they changed it up.
What?
Yeah.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs, and you want to get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day, and we know you can sing their little jingle. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts. And nobody's
ow.
Ow. Ow. I do want to add this because we need to play a gold. I pulled one out of the archives. That fits today because we have a criminal amongst our midst.
So now I have a question. If we find out who if we find out who did steal Tanuki,
there is a thief among us.
What are the repercussions of such? Like,
I don't know.
Like if you, because I know there's like values. On, like, okay, if you steal something over blah, blah, blah amount, you know, it's worse.
It becomes a felony and all that kind of stuff.
So that Tanuki, how much was that?
Well, we spent $20 in Japan, American money, to buy him. But it took another probably 80 to have him shipped over. Then we found out from a Japanese local after the fact that Tanuki, our Tanuki, was an actual antique.
Yeah. And you got to think about replacement.
Yeah. Costs. I don't think he could be replaced because this person who lives in Japan said, that is the oldest one I've ever seen. Patrick, are you going fuss?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought he was going fuss at the people for doing too much construction very loud. If you do it, hear construction noises. They're doing some work above our heads. But yeah, I mean, the replacement cost, first we'd have to find a Tanuki that is old enough to, you know, replicate what we had, makes me sad to say that, here in the studio in our stall of fame. And I don't know if that's possible. I don't know. Mm. Sad. I'm very, very sad about this. Who would do it? We don't know. Who would steal someone's good luck charm? I mean, that's terrible.
I don't know.
Yeah, that can't work out well for you.
No. Didn't you watch the Brady Bunch? Remember when Greg Brady took that little statue? Remember, he took that statue and he was trying to win the surfing contest.
Oh. And that, like when they went to Hawaii?
Yes, they went to Hawaii and he stole that little amulet, the little thing.
The volcano erupted or something?
Yes.
Okay, yep.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, this is the kind of stuff I fully expect to befall amongst that
person. Yeah, whoever took it, man, you're about to set off volcanoes.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yes, you must be careful.
Oh, my goodness. So, Carson, have you been... what are you watching now on Netflix? What's your routine for this weekend? You got
I'm gonna start Hannah at your recommendation because
okay,
I just finished Santa Clarita Diet. I didn't realize they'd put out season two. They actually put out season three, so I had to catch up on two seasons of
it. And that's Drew Barrymore as the zombie.
Drew Barrymore and her husband is Timothy Oliphant, who is yum.
Is he?
He's very tasty.
Who's Timothy Oliphant?
He was in Justified.
He needs a new name.
No.
I'm an Oliphant.
No, he was in Justified. He was in The Office. He was in Scream 2. He's a very good looking man.
Oh.
I recognize him.
Very dreamy. Very
I
dreamy.
I recognize him now.
But yeah, it's a dark comedy, but it's fun.
Did you, didn't I hear you say something about you gave up on Westworld?
Yes. Yeah, I got only a couple episodes into season two, And I just said, nah, I'm out. I know Bubba loves it. I was all in the first season, but you know what's a really good indication is if you pick up your phone and you start playing on it and you don't care that you've missed scenes. Because I think we all do that.
Right.
We'll pick up our phones and check a text or something, and you may go back and rewind something. Westworld didn't care.
I do that a lot with documentaries. I'll put it on, and it's kind of like background noise, and then I'll be watching it, and then something will peek. I'll be like, did they just say that? And I'll back it up a little bit, you know, and you catch back up. But, yeah, I kind of know what you're saying on that, and you don't feel bad for missing every little detail.
Yeah, so Westworld just kind of got away from me.
I felt that Westworld got too complicated.
I'm concerned it's going to be like Lost.
When you didn't know who Bernard was and who was pulling the strings.
They keep adding more and more layers, and I'm afraid they're not going to be able to actually resolve it conclusively, if that makes... Because I think Lost got so...
Lost?
Yeah. And didn't... its endings, and it left things undone, and its endings didn't make sense and whatever. I'm just afraid Westworld's going to do that. And if you put in all this time and effort for a TV show... And you're like, I don't think they know where they're going. Like, y'all are the ones supposed to draw the map, not me. So
there's a real fine line, you know, when you're making a TV show of trying to explain what's going on by, like, you'll notice it sometimes in conversations and dialogue. They'll say, hey, I get a phone call today from Tim. And the person will go, Tim, my cousin who lives in Oklahoma City. Well, they will say it like that so that you pick up on it so that you're not completely lost.
Right.
But you would never really say that in real life. So kind of sometimes I'll see that and I'll hear it and I'll kind of go,
the worst is
clumsy,
like when they do that and they say the last names of the characters. Tim? Roberts?
I always joke about that. I don't know if you guys remember. You probably don't because you're men. But the soap opera Passions.
All
premiered,
soap operas do that.
But Passion specifically because it started in like the very late 90s and it's a brand new soap opera. Like everything else that had been on was at least 20 to 50 years old. So Passions is trying to get these characters embedded in your mind. And so they would say like, Luis Lopez Fitzgerald, come here. And it's like his mom. And, you know.
Well, that's what moms do.
But she would just say it over and over, and they were like, I hate that Sheridan Crane. Like it was just over and over to make sure that, to this day, I mean, the show has been off how many years, but I know their names because they just drilled them in.
One of my favorite tactics for doing that kind of stuff was West Wing was a show about working in the White House, and they would sometimes talk about complicated political issues. Well, they had to make sure that the person watching understood the issue so that they could then go on, you know, with all their whatever the conflict was.
Yeah.
So they always had some conversation. Usually it was like Donna, who was Josh's assistant, would ask him questions about, well, how come the tax plan? Da, da, da.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what do you mean?
And
he's explaining it to her, but really he's explaining it to like 75% of the people watching who don't know what that means.
You know, I watched a soap opera not too long ago, and they had a native ad in it that blew me away. Have y'all seen that? Like
native
in your TV shows,
they have a
like
lot
you're watching
of stuff.
You're watching a show, and all of a sudden they have characters in a completely unrelated scene, and it looks like it's part of the show. And they're like, "What are you doing? Oh, I'm using Dawn dish detergent to blah 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 blah. It's the best. You know, it gets all the grease off."
That's
and
the
they
only
go
way
into
to
this
sell
big
stuff now,
and then they go through it, and then they go right to the next scene.
My favorite is Riverdale does that.
Do they?
Yeah. Oh, because you have CoverGirl is a massive sponsor, so you have all the girls like, oh. Hey there, what are you up to, Betty? Oh, I was just trying out my new palette of CoverGirl Nude Shimmers. What are you doing, V? Oh, have you tried their Vixen? No, V, that's more you. And it's just part, and then they start talking about whatever plot Jughead is involved in. And it's fantastic.
And while we're doing this, for all of your auto part needs, be sure to think of O'Reilly Auto.
Well, that's what I think about. I mean, right now, I'm thinking about O'Reilly.
Mean,
the jingle
though,
is in my head. O'Reilly, it's in my head.
Carson's telling that story about embedded advertising, and behind her, there's a sign that says O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Yeah, but that's that's different.
Even that
just happens to be in the background.
That I didn't say, like, guys, know where I'm going this weekend?
Where?
I'm going to O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Really?
You need new wipers.
That's exactly. It's like we haven't made it part of our podcast storyline.
This is not being paid for. They are the sponsor, but this is way above
way more than what we offered. Yeah.
Yeah.
They are. They're my new favorite thing to see in TV shows because it's just so.
It's blatant.
It's so obvious. And you know what, though? Fine. I'll put up with it because I want to watch my TV show.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we're getting free TV usually.
Yeah, it's usually fine.
Whatever.
Do you guys keep up? Do you ever listen to the podcast, the Serial podcast?
Yes.
I did not. I tried. I maybe got a couple episodes in, but it was.
I loved the first season. I thought it was so compelling.
I didn't like the announcers, like the people talking.
Oh, yeah. She was a little slow.
Dry.
But I thought the first season was extremely compelling. I tried to listen to the second season. I got about four or five in, and I was just, it just wasn't what I was looking
for. Now, in the second season, is it more about, is it the same case they're talking about?
No, the second season is something totally different. It's a guy that was, I believe he was in Afghanistan, and he was a soldier. And they were trying to figure out if he deserted or he was actually kidnapped. And I want to say he went through all these sort of trials and stuff. And it's still, it's like the season one was, is Adnan guilty? Is he not? Who would have killed Hay? And season two was supposed to be, hey, here's all the evidence that we have. And again, leaving it up to your own decision, but it just wasn't as... Well, I don't know. It wasn't as compelling to me.
That new documentary is on HBO is coming out in the next few days on about is Adnan guilty, and Hay is who killed Hay and all that kind of stuff. And so it's weird to see how we're getting these podcasts that people get interested in, and then it turns into a whole nother because it's a whole nother company that's doing the documentary.
Yeah,
and so you get to see the people that you've been hearing about. And
can I exit through the gift shop?
I had a business call yesterday. We were talking about podcasts. The podcast numbers are really interesting. It's just podcasting as a whole industry. Some stuff I learned yesterday. They think that there are between five. They know there are more than 500,000 podcasts out there. I think there's closer to 700,000 now, and that's just in the last
episodes
year.
Or
no podcasts.
Individual.
Like, oh,
individual
my people goodness. Doing it.
So. But the thing is, out of...
And that is that English language only, like United States-based?
That's English language. So imagine that there are 500,000 podcasts. Of those 500,000, how many of them do you think have more than 10 episodes?
Oh, not many. Most people give up
Less than half.
Yeah.
Less than half get to 10 episodes.
I wonder how many get to 20.
No.
I would probably say less than half.
The next
of
threshold
that.
Is 50, and they say it's less than 10%. And at 100, there's probably not 5,000 podcasts with 100 episodes. But the other part of it is, how many of those 500,000 podcasts, that's just on Apple Podcasts, which is most stuff is everywhere. You know, like our podcast is on Apple and Google and Stitcher and Podbean and, on Audio Boom and all these other places. Obviously, some of you are watching it on Facebook. But if there are a few that aren't on Apple because they're exclusive to Spotify or some other company, but most of them are on everything. So 500,000 on Apple. How many of those do you think are profitable to the point successful to the point that – that is that person's main source of income.
I would guess maybe 1%. Maybe.
That sounds high to me.
1% of 500,000 is 5,000.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no. I'm sorry. Then 0.01%. I would say maybe 60 total might be making enough money to cover their expenses or their time.
D, you want to take a guess?
I'll say 500,000. 500,000 are percentage-wise?
No, just the number of podcasts that are making enough money that's the host's main job, that's all they have to do.
I mean, I'll say 1%.
You think 5,000 are doing
150.
Wow.
Yeah. 150.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I am glad that we're not relying on this to pay the bills.
No.
I mean, we do this because we love to do it and kind of fill you in on what's going on behind the scenes here at the show and all the crazy stuff that happens. And
it was fascinating to me. We started doing this podcast more than 5 years ago, but when we recently launched five other podcasts with the company, including my own podcast, Carson has her own podcast, I started getting into other podcasts more just to see what was out there. And so I find little things that I find interesting, a political podcast, a sports podcast. There's one that's just about the TV show The West Wing that I mentioned earlier, where they go through. Now, I love The West Wing. I'm like borderline obsessed with it. So I thought it would be cool. They go through episode by episode and listen to it. And I'll tell you right now, It's really hard to listen to. It's very dry. It's two guys. It's kind of like this. Play along with me, Carson. It's like, so what did you think? And he goes, well, I
bet she's going to play along.
No, yeah.
No, me too. I'm like.
But I thought for a second you had listened to it. And then I remembered, no, you just told me about it. You didn't actually listen. But it's very, they pretend to laugh at each other. And I mean really awkwardly. Like the one guy knows the other guy's going to tell the joke. And the other one goes, and then a silence back to the next. It's people who've never done broadcasting. They don't know how to tell stories. They don't know how to talk.
Well, there are people in broadcasting who don't know how to do that.
Well, that's true, too. But
there are people in broadcasting who are just doing it just because they just happen to get into it.
Or because their company is mandating that they do a podcast because you're getting a lot of that.
You just hear so much where it's like, I don't think this is for you.
I hear a lot of it. And it's even the ones that are highly rated and recommended. And I start listening to it and it's awful. I can't. And I'm like, man, am I just too hard? You know, I'm just too cynical with people in this industry.
Well, you are, because this is what you do. Talking into a microphone like they're doing is it's your passion. It's been your life since you were 14 years old.
Right.
And I know that because it's the same with me. And yeah, you can't help but be a little judgmental. And sometimes you have to step back and go, okay, well, I got to listen to this with virgin ears, I guess, you know, where you're not tainted by, 30 years of kookiness that people have told you.
Specifically brought up that podcast is they're talking about something that the West Wing guys, something that I really, really am into. And it's still hard for me to get past how dry and dull it is. Like, I just keep thinking, man, if I had a couple of friends who were into this show and access to the other actors who were in this show that I could have them as guests, I would do a way better podcast than this. Because you just bring passion to it, and they're not even, well, they're not really passionate about it because they really talk all the time like this. Would you stop doing that?
I'm drinking out of my 17 mug. This is a native advertising. Just go with it.
No, it's like, oh, my God.
Keep talking.
I'm trying to work around children.
He is the king of derail.
No, seriously.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I know what you mean.
I honestly don't remember what I was saying.
Yeah, you're talking about how, again, that it just because they have access to these great people and whatever doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be compelling for you to listen to, which is a shame. Like, you hate
that. By the way, a lot of times, something I've noticed, a lot of these podcasts interview people over a high-quality phone line, so it sounds like they're sitting in the same studio.
Like FaceTime or Skype or something
where the audio quality is similar and it doesn't sound like they're on the phone, but it's so obvious to me instantly that they're not in the same room because the weird pauses are strange. It's just, I don't know. It just has a different vibe when you're sitting in a room with somebody talking to them than when you're sitting.
Well, I did my friend's podcast the other day. And I did it via Skype. And
what was that called, by the way?
The Blattcast. B-L-A-D. His name is Christian Blatt. That's why. And he wanted to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And Christian and I go back to, we were NBC Pages together. So occasionally I'll go on there and we'll talk about that stuff. But anyway, this is the first time we'd ever done it via Skype. Because I was like, well, if you want, I can record my half in my studio and I can send it to you and you can mix it together. He's like, no, Skype works fine. I'm like, oh, I've actually never done anything via Skype, and I haven't listened to it yet to see how it sounds.
Yeah, it's going to be obvious if you're just listening that you're not in the same.
Yeah.
My favorite comment right now on the Facebook feeds is Brett, the kid. He says, I'm already done with podcasts. Many are way too long, as he's watching our podcast.
Yes.
That's great.
Well, Christian and I went on for almost 2 hours.
Yeah, what? I mean.
Right? That's what I said. I was like, because I kept trying to wrap it up because I'm used to, like, I'm half an hour, get in and out. And he's like, no, we can keep going. I'm like, all right.
You can.
Depends what your goal is. Carson's trying to do a 30-minute podcast. Our folks that do Calm Down, we're just talking, you're trying to do a 30-ish minute podcast. Man, I don't have a thing. My podcasts average over 80 minutes.
Yeah, it just depends on if you have more to say. You know, that's the thing. Well, I don't think there should be any... Are you talking about
a specific thing? Are you talking about current events? Are you talking about...
Well, what I was going to say is it's great because you don't have to worry about a time. I mean, other than getting your sponsor in and sipping out of a 17 mug or wearing a cool 17 gear hat, while on camera. I mean, you don't have to fit anything else in. So you can go any length. You can go 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 50 minutes, eight hours.
It doesn't matter. Case,
have you seen the 17 gear hat? Okay. It's pretty great.
In my case, I'm doing interviews, long form interviews, where I feel like I don't want to have to rush through it. So, yeah, you hit 75 minutes really quick. Before you look up and go, oh, crap, we've been talking for an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It just happens.
Well,
I mean, Joe Rogan's podcasts typically go over 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
Just sitting there talking to somebody. But it's a very very relaxed interview style.
But that's also why I watch the clips on YouTube when that's they've true. Boiled it down. Because yeah. I don't have the patience for that. I don't want to hear him for that long.
Yeah, maybe so.
I mean, again, that's just me. That's me being impatient. I understand that.
You mean you don't want to listen to Joe yell at you for an hour that we landed on the moon?
He only yelled at you.
He doesn't yell at everybody.
Oh, that's what you think because you read that from someone? You're a sheep.
D's still mad again, because he got into a fight with Joe Rogan.
By the way, we're on episode 242, which doesn't sound like a lot when you consider, but that's 242 weeks, not counting all the vacation breaks in between. So we're getting close to 260 weeks straight of doing these.
Yeah.
If you take the vacation stuff out, that's pretty impressive. Yeah. I am very impressed with us.
I'm impressed too.
You know what else is impressive?
17 gear.
It's great. Gear, yeah. It is. Look at this beautiful mug. Well, for those of you who aren't looking, you can go to shop.bigdandbubba.com and take a look at these beautiful 17 gear mugs.
Is that a left-handed mug?
It is a left-handed mug. So I can work my mouse or type with my right hand, and I can do radio things without being interrupted.
More ladies V-neck shirts. Because we basically ran out of them.
Yeah, we were doing back order.
Yeah, so please
I don't even have one.
You can do a back order or you can just, be patient. Go back and check again in a couple of weeks. We'll have more.
Yeah, that was a big fail on our part originally when we didn't do V-neck, ladies V-neck.
For the logo shirts?
We're trying to keep the price low, so you got to actually order them and not do on demand and then... Yeah, you kind of got to limit what you order.
Yeah, because then you get stuck with inventory, and it's just money sitting in a warehouse.
Trying to keep that price low for everybody. T-shirts online are expensive. Yeah. These on-demand things are like $25 to $40 for one T-shirt.
Oh, yeah. I was on one looking for some Star Wars things, and I found one I liked, and it was like $38 to get the shirt I wanted.
The other thing is hats. People charge like $30, $35
for a hat. Oh, my gosh, hats are insane.
No, $20 or $21 for a hat.
How much is this one right here
that
I'm wearing?
$21.
And that's not even the coolest one.
No, there's a cool one coming.
There's one coming that is super cool.
If you like, solid color trucking hats like that, that's your thing. Get it. The other one is totally different. So
yeah, they're both cool, and I like both.
It's really a style thing. It's really like which one's your style.
Yeah, the other one's going to be more of it. It's going to be a patch.
Oh, look at that.
A 17 patch.
Nick, valued commenter, just said, 5 Whiskey podcast is great. I think the time is good on the shows. Plus, it introduces me to new whiskey. We'll try to do that.
Yeah.
We'll do a new whiskey.
We try to not do more than 2 episodes with 1 whiskey. That's why, if you've noticed, you can see
my whiskey
collection has grown exponentially since we started doing the podcast.
How did you like that Japanese whiskey?
The Japanese whiskey is great. Tracy Lawrence is my guest this week. We drank the Suntory Old Whiskey. Dude, I wish I'd bought more of it. So those little things were like $27. I bought them. Suntory Old Whiskey, a little 700
milliliter
thing.
And you bought that at the airport?
Yeah, like I bought two in of them. Little... I thought, yeah, this is probably not that big. I got back. You can't buy that in America. That specific brand, I can't find anywhere. I'm looking online. People are selling bottles that look just like mine for $150.
I have a buddy who goes to Japan.
Oh, my gosh. I wish I would have brought more.
I have a buddy who goes to Japan on a pretty regular basis.
Oh, well, good. Well, I'm going to give him some
money. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
He can bring me back some more. It's really good. It tastes like a really good blended scotch, like a mid to high level blended scotch. For $27 for a bottle, it was pretty great. Also, Tracy brought me something called Redbreast, which is an Irish whiskey. Pretty good. I'm not an Irish whiskey guy, but it was good.
I would like to welcome Floyd to the party. I mentioned his name a minute ago. He said, this is the first podcast I've ever listened/watched, and I believe I'm going to do this as often as I can.
Thanks, Floyd.
It's fun. It gives you behind the scenes. Thanks, Floyd. When you get into the whiskeys and that kind of stuff, I never knew all the things that go into them, like, you know, how it's made and the difference between whiskey and scotch.
How it's made and where it's made dictates how it's spelled. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't know. Like, only, isn't it only Ireland can have whiskey without an E?
No, it's Scotland. It's not a rule. Scotland has rules about, in their country, about what can be called whiskey. But this is the Japanese, and it's spelled without an E. Suntory Old Whiskey. But yeah, every country has different rules about what you can't. Like, in Canada, they can call stuff whiskey that we would not be legally allowed to call whiskey in the United States.
But bourbon only comes from Kentucky.
Bourbon,
uh-oh.
No, that rule is kind of being sidestepped by some companies making bourbon in other places.
Really?
I don't know how they're getting around that, because there's federal laws about what you can call certain types of things. But bourbon is usually made in a certain region in Kentucky, and it has to be a certain percentage of corn, a certain percentage of other grains.
It's like Parmesan cheese. It only comes from the Parmesan region of Italy.
Yeah.
And you can't.
And champagne only comes from Champagne in France.
Correct.
So anything else that's, it's called sparkling white wine. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not actually
that's
champagne.
Why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sparkling white wine is the same thing as champagne.
It is.
But it's not made in
They're just
champagne.
Not allowed to say it that way.
Yeah. And that's an international trade regulation. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't make champagne in California or. You know, whatever.
Okay, so what about, like, the Jack Daniels distillery? Is the Jack Daniels, well, that's whiskey, is right?
It's Tennessee whiskey, which is very similar to bourbon, except that they filter it through charcoal. So Jack Daniels, charcoal.
Charcoal?
That's a hard word for me, charcoal.
But it's not just charcoal. It's charcoal of the burnt barrels that have been used to make prior whiskey batches,
no,
which I think is pretty cool.
No,
I've been there.
It's the same wood, but it's new wood. It's new wood.
Oh, see, I thought it was already infused wood that they were burning. Oh,
no.
See, they were
it's
misleading.
It's the same wood, because I've seen them set it on fire. I was there one time where they take all these pallets and they light them up. And they use, for fire starter, they use white lightning. They use whiskey that came out of one of the stills.
So it doesn't have a weird.
So it doesn't have any, yeah, all it's pure whiskey in the and wood, that's it.
So then they take the pallets that they burned, and they get them to a certain point.
And they fill this
they
big,
filter,
giant
use that
container
to,
that's like 16, 20 feet high, and they drip the whiskey in at the top, and it comes out the bottom. They
isn't that
filter
weird
it
that
through charcoal.
Charcoal is a, because when you touch it, you get your fingers black, and you would think, how is this a filtering agent? But that's what they, I don't know how they, wow, it
dude,
works.
Dude, charcoal and sand liquid is a great way to filter your water, like if you're in the woods and all that kind of stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, so
charcoal
just a little
sucks
prepper
everything
knowledge.
To it. Now, the reason charcoal sticks to your fingers is because it's a flat surface, and also because there's oil on it, which it sticks. But actual liquid water, or in this case alcohol, which is even less dense than water, just goes straight through it. It just sucks out, supposedly, impurities or whatever.
Charcoal
it does
sucks.
Give it a very smooth taste. I really like Tennessee whiskey. Jack
and
Daniels
so,
is good stuff.
And so they take that, and then why are there like different versions of Jack Daniels whiskey?
Okay, so that, well, Gentleman Jack is filtered twice. I don't know. I'm not sure that does anything, but it tastes different. So there's that single barrel and all the fancy Jack. It's just because they leave it in the barrel a little longer, or a single barrel, they just take it out of one barrel strength, put it into bottles. And you're buying, it's not mixed together. In other words, normally they take 200 barrels that they made about the same time, and they mix it all together to get this good blend, and then they, you know, they serve it to you. That's considered a single malt. If it was scotch, we would call Jack Daniels a single malt. They only make their whiskey, and they only sell what they make in this one location.
If you want to learn more about whiskey, you can always listen to Patrick's podcast.
We don't talk about whiskey. My podcast is not about whiskey. We just really drink it. But
well, I mean, this one isn't either. But.
Yeah. But
it is today.
It is today.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting, though.
But what single barrel is, they take one barrel, which fills, I don't know, like 60-something or 100, you know, bottles, and they fill it just this. We take this barrel, we pour it into 100 bottles, yeah, and we either sell them individually, or you can buy a barrel for like
the whole barrel,
a couple $1,000, and then they just give you, like,
that.
Kelly Pickler brought us a bottle one time of single barrel that she and her husband or somebody had bought and given them away as presents.
Yeah, like I had the Eric Church one.
Yeah.
He did it too.
So
They're just showing off.
Showing off.
That they have a couple grand to spend
right
on alcohol.
High on my list of things I want is my own bottle of... Oh, yeah. My own barrel of Jack Daniels.
You should put that on your wedding registry.
Yes.
Yes.
That may be the best thing.
You guys are looking for a wedding present for me. A barrel of Jack Daniels Old Tennessee whiskey. I would prefer mine to be barrel proof.
How much is a barrel? Dilute? Several thousand?
I don't even know. Honestly.
I mean, I think we can maybe GoFundMe. We've always had a zero GoFundMe policy because we don't promote anybody else's. This could be the only one. This is it.
How much is it? Let's see. It's a...
Jack Daniel single barrel.
And by the way, while they're looking it up, the reason we don't do the GoFundMes is because if we shared one, we would have to share 8,000. It would be
minimum every day, and that's just me.
That's just Patrick. And I get different ones, and it would be insane. That's all you would ever hear from us is, hey, here's somebody's GoFundMe account. And then what would happen is after a week, everybody had already given their money, and nobody gets anything.
Yeah.
But I would be willing... If it's reasonable, I would be willing to maybe
$10,000?
$10,000?
Yeah.
Is there 10 grand worth of whiskey actually in there? Is that
I think so.
Is that the market value?
I think so. Because it must be 100.
What's their cost, though? Because maybe we can work, you know, maybe we can work this.
Oh, it's 47 gallons. My gosh, that makes about 100. How many bottles of whiskey does that make? I don't know.
You should know. You're like Rain Man with math.
Yeah, but I don't know how much. I can't do metric to English.
But think about it. If you invited 100 people to your wedding and we all just gave $100 instead of buying you a present, you could buy yourself a barrel.
That's if we thought enough of them to give $100.
Dude, I would serve it at the wedding, too. But if they would let, I don't know. You know how weird these things are.
Now, they have a Costco sells.
Costco sells barrels.
Single barrels at 8,500.
No, those are empty barrels. Like, that's just the barrel. Oh. In case you wanted it for like
$8,500 for a
barrel?
For
an empty barrel?
Not 8,500.
I'm looking at it.
Oh, maybe so. Oh,
wow.
8,500.
Costco.
So.
I thought you were talking about that because I've seen them. They literally sell
the empty barrels. Go register there. And go ahead and put that on your thing. And
where's your wedding registry? The liquor store at Costco?
Yep. I think that's legit, man.
Dude.
Get what you really want.
I let her register at Bed Bath & Beyond. I can't go to,
Jim's. You don't need another toaster?
No,
you guys
I don't.
Have all that stuff. You're not 18, fresh out of high school, starting out. You have things.
This toaster can do 4 slices
simultaneously,
or as the Brits would say, simultaneously.
Oh. A single bottle costs $10,000, but will depend on the exact number of bottles, taxes, and local price of the product. Wow.
Huh.
This is straight from their website.
Mm-mm. Well, now we know what someone rich can get.
Man, that would be awesome. I would totally...
I get. What do you do if you had a barrel? Would you just?
Oh, well, you buy the barrel. You go and you taste it and make sure you like that specific barrel, and then they bottle it for you, and then they give you.
Oh, they don't actually just give you a barrel full of alcohol to take.
They give you the barrel, but they bottle the whiskey for you.
Oh,
well,
that's kind of cool. So you don't have to like pop a spigot
into
it or anything.
Put it in those nice little single barrel bottles. I've got one in there somewhere, and then they put a little.
A little
thing on it that says from the private collection of, Five Whiskey Patrick.
I thought you could just like dump a mug in it and scoop it out.
Like, dip in there like a pirate.
It's beer. It's not beer. I mean, it's whiskey. You can't dunk a mug in it and just drink the mug.
I mean, people did back in the day.
Speaking of dunking a mug,
you don't do that.
Man, that sounds like a 17 mug.
It is a 17 mug. Available right now at shop.bigdandbubba.com. Or if you go to bigdandbubba.com, you just click on store and you'll be able to find it right there. Look how great it matches my hat.
Yeah, it does look good. I do love that logo. I love the gear, man. 17 gears. It's hot, man. I get a text message. I'm going to save it. Lady said, hey, I'm listening to you guys. And whenever I'm listening to you, isn't it interesting that my volume is always set on 17? I was like, yeah.
That's awesome.
17.
That is great.
It's actually quite a steal.
What, the 8,500?
The 10,000. Because it's 240.
He's still on the math.
He's on it, man.
Oh, boy. Sorry, Vivica.
It's 240 bottles. The cheapest you can find single barrel is $50 a bottle. So it's about $12,000 worth of whiskey retail.
But if you buy it all at once,
it's 10 grand, and it's super cool.
Do you pay tax on the $10,000 though?
Probably.
Dude, what? How horrible would it be for us to start a GoFundMe for that?
Very.
I mean, terrible.
I can think of other things. Even if I was going to say, "Hey, give me some money," there are other things I'd prefer that you spend it on.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's cool, a problem because that is. I've seen some shady GoFundMes.
Oh, people, pay for my vacation.
Oh yeah.
Some girl had a. It's always been my dream to meet the Backstreet Boys. So she did a GoFundMe so she could go out to their Vegas residency and buy the meet and greet ticket. And people paid for it.
Of course they did. Listen,
who are
here's
these
the thing.
People? If you don't
did she have a compelling story at least?
Nope.
I mean, did she have like.
Wasn't sick, wasn't any. Nope, just. I don't have the money right now.
Not even alopecia?
Nothing.
Huh.
Not, I mean, no, not a hangnail. Not nothing.
Not a hangnail.
Nothing. Nothing. And she's like, I just want to meet the Backstreet Boys, so pay for it. And people did.
Wow. So she got to meet them.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm assuming she took the money and bought the tickets.
You know what? Awesome. Listen, if you don't have enough shame to stop you from doing that and people want to pay for it, as long as you're being honest, don't tell me it's for a surgery on your gimpy foot and then spend it on the Backstreet Boys.
I had a friend from high school who did do the whole, it was kind of early on in the GoFundMe thing, and she was like, hey, we've never had a vacation as a family, blah, 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 want to do it. So she did, and she got it paid for. All of us friends from high school kind of pitched in. Then the Christmas, we all want to go to Disney, and okay, so people pitched in.
What?
That time I didn't pitch in. Then the next summer she did it again, and people paid for her beach vacation. I mean, it was just for like three or four vacations, everything was free.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the problem is you have people like that. It's the same thing like whenever you see a homeless person on the street, and you go, well, I want to give them money, but I don't know if they're real or not.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what has happened with the whole GoFundMe thing, is you don't know who it deserves it and who doesn't.
I feel like the next step in our social evolution is that none of us are going to have jobs. It's just going to be, which week is your GoFundMe? And we're all going to just get a GoFundMe. And then the next week it's like, oh, well, I got to take money from my GoFundMe and give it to Bubba's GoFundMe. And that's just how we're going to keep passing money around.
Oh. Well, I would like a GoFundMe so that I was going to, you know,
get some whiskey.
I don't want to GoFundMe. I want you to follow me on Facebook at 5WhiskeyPatrick or on Twitter at RadioPatrick and give my podcast a 5-star review.
Dude, I think you should start your own GoFundMe for that.
Yep.
Speaking of 5-star reviews, if you would, please don't forget to always give us a 5-star review on the podcast. It really does help us.
What happens if you put whiskey into the Patrick Punch? You know, I've never tried that.
Oh, Patrick, what are you doing?
No?
That's a terrible idea.
Okay, you know what you should do, Chris Farley? You should stop.
Wow! Man!
Oh, I love it.
I mean, listen.
Yes.
It's bad. It's not that bad. It's not Chris Farley bad.
You know, Chris Farley really wasn't that big.
It's not about that. It's also about things Chris Farley was doing were worse than the things I'm doing.
The worst.
Oh, I mean,
for
just
sure.
Because you're not doing coke. I mean, all right. Like,
no, he did.
Seriously,
we'll give you that half.
By the way,
he's got
cocaine
diet coke.
Is really, really bad for you.
Yeah.
Really, 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 really bad for you.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Supposed to keep you thin.
He had gone. He had done like they had sent him to rehab like 20 something times.
But he said no. Oh, oh.
And so he had a problem with drugs for a long time.
Man, I told this story on one of my podcasts when I was in Europe one time, and some guys that I was friends with, just acquaintances that I knew, they were just sniffing little bitty bits of cocaine off these little teeny tiny spoons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like you see in the movies where there's a big line. It wasn't that kind of thing. It was just like, oh, no, well, it's late. We're going to stay awake. We're going to, you know, he's like, you want a hit? And I'm like, you know what? I don't. Because I've seen this, how this movie ends. And fat people plus cocaine is bad. It's just bad. Yeah, not
what's
good.
That? Oh, it's his heart. It just
heart.
Exploded.
Yeah. So I'll stick with cheeseburgers and, you know, Diet Mountain Dew.
I was going to say the worst, though, is you're talking about how Chris Farley wasn't that fat, is the guy from The Hangover that they always called the fat guy from The Hangover.
Oh, my God.
Zach Galifianakis.
Zach Galifianakis.
150 pounds more than that guy.
He was the fat guy from The Hangover, and he was not fat.
Yeah. Just surrounded by really skinny people.
Yep.
People, it's tough with people who are considered comically fat, and you go, oh, my God, I'm so much fatter than that guy.
I mean, you're just funnier.
Yeah, let's hope.
I gotta go meet a garage.
All right. I do want to mention this for those of you who are watching on Facebook. We have the interview with Rita Wilson. Rita Wilson, Tom Hanks's wife, now has gone country. So if you're watching on Facebook, go and listen to the podcast version, because at the end of the audio version of the podcast, right after the jingle, that interview is going to be there. And it's really interesting kind of to get her feel on it, because it's kind of like it's a different take on where she got her inspiration and all that kind of stuff for her album. So go and check it out. And I guess I would like to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hold on. Wait. Sorry. 17 mug. Shop.BigDeanBubba.com. The podcast sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. And you can get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service. At O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices.
Every day.
Every day.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show.
When?
On the radio. Oh,
probably every day.
Every day.
I mean, Monday through Friday.
It was the podcast.
Okay. Five-star ratings.
Hey, Rita Wilson is in the studio with us.
Woo-hoo!
Hello, Miss Rita Wilson.
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful. Do you want us to call you Rita Wilson or Rita?
I think it's always good when you just say full name, Rita Wilson.
Wouldn't that be great?
What's like your middle name?
I don't have a middle name.
You
really?
What?
No, but I have a really long name that I was born with. What? And that's Margarita Ibrahimov. I think it sounds like a Russian gymnast.
It does.
You know, like a little
up
placard
next
saying
on the pole vault.
Yes.
Margarita Ibrahimov.
That's right.
So just got that. Of course, that became Rita Wilson. I mean, of course.
It became Rita Wilson because my dad, who was Bulgarian and immigrated to the United States, he lived on a street called Wilson. And when he went to become an American citizen, they said, do you want to change your name? And by then he was so tired of everyone asking him, how do you spell your name? How do you say your name? This was before Schwarzenegger, you know?
Right.
Before it became popular to have a crazy last name.
Well, I like Rita Wilson. It fits. It's nice.
Thank you.
So, listen, you have, I think you've written songs with every friend of ours in Nashville. We're just talking before you came in. I think it was Bubba said, I think Rita wrote with the brothers, and I was like,
I did.
I was like, what? Seriously, Brad? And Brett, you get to write with the Warren Brothers.
I love them so much.
Yeah, we have long history with those guys.
Do you?
Now, do you remember, did they ever, now you know them as the well-seasoned country music.
Oh, am I about to pull this up?
Yes, you
are. Are you about to pull out the Florida part of their past?
Oh, yeah. You
already know this.
Yes. So these guys are responsible for bringing us songs like,
If You're Reading
If You're Reading This.
Yes.
All kinds of great songs, country songs.
I can't even find it now.
Did they go through and scourge it off the internet?
Yes, they've been scrubbing the internet to change the past.
They used to be in a hair metal band, is what we're referring
That's
to.
That's right,
it
exactly.
Was awesome. Saint Warren.
Saint Warren.
I know. Yes. I did find it. So
I want to hear this.
Here we go.
This is when they make.
Oh, it's still great already.
Oh my god. Oh my God! Can they see us all banging our heads right now?
Don't they like say something like, "Hey, everybody, we're St. Warren." I remember
early rap.
I remember there being like a talking point.
Oh yeah, here it goes.
Yo, sound effect.
What was that?
Hello, I'm Bruce St. Warren, and I'm Brad St. Warren from the band. St. Warren.
Oh,
God. Make it stop. It's like Bill and Ted is what this is.
It's literally Bill and Ted. Now we know what he got.
They're Nashville's Bill and Ted. It's the best.
So funny.
You guys have found a hair band I haven't seen.
Really?
I've never seen them. Yep.
You need to dig deep.
I guess so.
I bet we could do the reunion tour.
It's not so stretch from. It's not such a stretch from that song to Red Solo Cup.
Actually, it's not. Sadly.
Oh, my God. I forgot the Red Solo Cup.
Yes,
I forgot.
The best thing is I do this show called Liner Notes, and it's songwriters in the round. Obviously, you guys know what that is because they do it here at the Bluebird and other places. But nobody had done that in L.A., so I started doing it in L.A., and I invited the Warren Brothers out to be part of the round. And I told my son, who's in college, I said, well, one of the writers that's coming out is a brother team, and they're called the Warren Brothers, and they wrote this song called Red Solo Cup. He goes, what? Oh, my God. Everybody in my fraternity knows that song. We always sing it. And I'm like, yep, yep, that song will never go away.
Never. They wrote a lot of other good stuff, too. But
yes.
That's what we will remember, you know.
Well, that's, well, you know. I think that song probably made them the most amount of money, too. I mean, because...
You never know where it's going to come from.
No, you never do. You never do. And I'm sure they told you the story behind that and how it was just a quickie thing, kind of a throwaway, and boom. Yeah, you're right. You never know.
You never know.
Is it the same way, like, with movies and TV and
Absolutely.
Any of that?
Absolutely. It really... By the way, they did write a beautiful song together. We wrote a beautiful song together, I think, called Not About the Music, that's on the album of mine before this called... Bigger Picture. And it's just one of those songs about when music used to heal everything in a relationship and then it stopped. And when you used to drive around in your car and you used to think, oh, let's just play that song and we'll be out of our fight.
It'll make everything better.
It'll make everything better. And I think it's such a cool song. I don't know. I really like it. But wait, what did you ask me before that?
I don't know. Why don't we take a break?
We'll come back.
We'll come back. We'll figure it out.
By the way, this is going to happen a lot.
Okay, fine.
All right, Rita Wilson's with us. We'll take a break. Come right back. Hang on. Hey, Rita Wilson is joining us in the studio. The album Halfway to Home is out, and the song Throw Me a Party, we're about to play it in a second. You know, music is you know, has it always been a big thing? Like, did you grow up singing? Or is it kind of a, hey, I'm going to start singing?
No, I think I always did sing. And when I was growing up, I grew up in Hollywood, California. But when I grew up there, everybody who was in a band had a band. And they played music and they played an instrument. Like, the people that I admired, Carole King and Joni Mitchell and Laura Nero, those Fleetwood Mac. Well, Stevie, I guess, didn't play, but she had a bunch of people who played. I just didn't know how to start a band when I was in high school. And then I got into acting, and that sort of took off. And as you get older, you become more timid or afraid to do something new. And it's always been this thing that, you know, you do one thing, kind of stay in your lane and don't try anything different. Mm-hmm. But then I did this play called Chicago, this musical, and Cara Diaguardi also had done it. And she was a producer and a songwriter. She's written Sober with Pink and Walk Away for Kelly Clarkson, great songs. And she said, well, have you ever thought about songwriting? And I said, no, I can't play an instrument. I can't do it. And she said, yeah, but do you have something you want to say? And when she put it in that way, that it sort of opened up everything to me. And she wrote my first two songs with me and another guy called Jason Reeves, who's a great songwriter as well.
I think that's so true about people when you get, I don't know what the age is, and I think it's probably different for everyone, but when you're 18, 19 or younger, even early 20s, you're kind of like, hey, everyone asks you, hey, what are you going to do? What are you
exactly,
going to be?
Exactly. Such pressure.
And it's wide open. And you're like, I don't know. I guess I could, you know.
My daughter's fighting that right now.
Yeah. It's true. And it's crazy. I feel bad for kids. I always say to my own children, go to college because you got to go to college. And then when you get out of college, follow something that you know that you're going to get up every morning and love to do. And even if you aren't doing that in the beginning, keep that in your mind because it can lead you to the thing that you want to do.
Well, what's weird is because I've had that conversation a ton with my daughter. She's getting close. So I'm like, what do you think you would love to do? Because that's what I'm like,
exactly.
I don't work. We don't work.
Exactly.
We show up and we play every day. We goof off. And she's like, well, maybe I'll just come to work with you. I'm like, no,
not
really. What do you want to do? What makes you happy? That's what you need to do. If you do that, everything else, the money, everything else, it will take care of itself.
But what a good example you're showing her, though. She's got a pretty good kind of clue if she says, maybe I'll come to work with you. Because I think there's something we have to do as parents anyway, is to show that we love what we do. And even if it isn't that we love our job that we're doing, if we don't have that blessing, at least find something else you do that you love, whether it's, you know, playing the guitar or painting or doing music or hiking or whatever it is. You have to have something that you do that you feel passionate about.
Yeah.
Keeps you sustained.
Hey, talk to us about Throw Me a Party.
Oh, Throw Me a Party. I wrote it with Christian Bush and Liz Rose. Christian,
from Sugarland.
Yeah.
And Liz Rose, who wrote a lot of the early Taylor stuff.
And yeah, she won a Grammy for White Horse. She wrote one of the writers on Girl
Crush.
That's
good, right? When Grammys are good.
Yeah. Grammys, I think they're good.
They
I don't know anything about those. But yeah, so they're great writers. And I did a little writing camp, and we came, we had Cara DioGuardi, Mozella, Mitch Allen, Christian, and Liz. And I had this title, Throw Me a Party, because 4 years ago I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And when you don't know what the diagnosis is going to be, you go dark. You think, whoa, anything could happen here. And so I said to my husband, I'm like, honey, if something happens to me and I should go before you, I want you to be real sad for a real long time. And then I want to have a big party. And so I started thinking about that. You know, I felt like it should be a celebration. I really wanted people to celebrate a life and not just dwell in the sadness, you know, because that's really where you keep somebody alive, is in the stories that you tell and the things about their life that you want to remember. So we wrote that song, Throw Me a Party.
Well, let's play it. This is Throw Me a Party from Halfway to Home. Here's Rita Wilson.
Imagine the song playing. We wish we could put it on the podcast, but legally we can't. So this is where the song will be playing. La, la, la. You love it. It's great. It's the best thing ever. And here we go back to the interview.
Hey, Rita Wilson's in the studio with us, and you can follow her on her social medias at Rita Wilson, at Rita Wilson. So this is like your fourth album? Is this right?
Yes.
Number four.
Yes.
Did you?
I'm like the Grandma Moses of music.
I was not thinking that.
I just said that. That is pretty funny. I might have to steal from myself.
You're free to do that. You can do it for yourself.
Look, I have a whole theory about this, though, because I really feel that I've come across so many people touring, and you meet fans afterwards, you sign CDs, and I've met so many people who are so creative out there, and they always say something to me like, oh, I wish that I could do blank, and fill in the blank, whether it's painting, writing, dancing, singing. And I always say, do it. It's never too late to be what you might have been, which I think is an Oscar Wilde quote or something. But people have creativity within them, and I think sometimes that creativity has been stifled by a message you got when you were younger. Yep. Either you can't make money at that, or I'm not going to pay for your school if you decide you're going to be an actor, or whatever it is. And people historically don't really value being an artist or being a musician or creative. And when you make it, then it's absolutely valued. But when you're struggling and you're not doing it, it's really hard.
The odds are stacked against artists in general.
But nowadays, it's so easy and cheap to make your own art that you don't
exactly
have to do it as a career. You want to make it. You want to make a CD.
It could be your side hustle.
Yeah,
even a creative expression.
Exactly.
That's it. Yeah. The amount of people that I know that have books of diaries that they've kept forever, and they might work at a call center.
I have a secret SoundCloud. I just want to let you guys know I'm a SoundCloud rapper.
Oh,
you guys don't
bring it. I want to hear that. My name is Bubba.
It's all nerdcore. It's all Star Wars rap.
Come on, let's rhyme with Bubba. My name is Bubba. I'm a big lover. Don't worry about your. No, I'm not going to say that. This is a public show.
Nobody listens. Don't worry.
17 people.
Yes, we have 17 listeners. So, Rita, before you go, Patrick here is getting married this year at the end of September.
Oh, congratulations.
And thank you. Heads up, this is his second marriage, and it's her first.
Lovely.
They've been dating for two years,
yeah.
Couple of years.
That's a good length of time.
Give him three things that he needs to remember going into his relationship.
Okay. I would say never go to bed angry.
Okay.
Make sure that you make each other laugh, even when you're mad.
Oh, I got that.
And make sure you always share a bathroom. I don't mean the toilet. I mean the bathroom. Because at the end of the night, when you're getting ready for bed, that's when all the good laughs happen, and talk about the day and talk about the night. And that's where there's a great connection there.
Share a bathroom.
Yes.
Never heard that one before.
Never heard that.
I just wish my wife would shut the bathroom door.
Oh my gosh, what is up with that? Like, you women are gross.
No, I'm not going there. I said don't share the toilet. I said share the bathroom.
But it's like so crazy. It's like, why, you know, it's the door is there for a reason.
Can I just be a total movie nerd for just a minute?
Yes.
And like, I felt like I was getting advice from the waitress in that thing you do, giving me life advice. Yeah. And it was the best. And I was
you're
in
no
that
good to me now.
Oh, you're no good to me now. And I am not. Nor was I ever. But I am your biggest fan. If you don't get that, I can't
exactly.
help you.
Exactly. Forget it, people.
Yeah. It's good to see you. Thank you for coming by.
Thank you.
Best luck on the album.
Oh, and I botched the line.
Well, no, you didn't.
No, I said, I am your biggest fan. I said it right. It's supposed to be, you are my biggest fan.
Yeah, you are my biggest fan.
Oh, well.
I love that movie.
It's one of those where... It's one of those where it comes on and you go, oh, I'm going to watch this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can't move past it.
Mm-hmm. I can never
If you like the movie, you should get the DVD with the behind-the-scenes extras because it has other really cool stuff in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much for hanging out. This was really fun.
Good. Thank you for hanging out.
The album is called Halfway to Home. Throw Me a Party is on there. You can get it now. Rita Wilson, everyone. Thanks, really appreciate it.